CRJ 225, this is your week two podcast, and we're moving on to look at elements of crimes and criminal liability. Now, we've sort of introduced the concept that there are elements of each crime, and we're going to sort of jump ahead. We'll come back to these two topics, but for this week, we're going to take a little review of assault and battery in Illinois. And by doing that, we're going to see what the different elements are for these two distinct charges. Some of you will be surprised because, as one of the individuals who took this class this summer noted, they thought that assault was battery and battery was assault. These two get mixed up, as I think I alluded to in week one, just like robbery and burglary. And they're really important to be able to distinguish. But the point this week is that you have to key in on the elements of the crime as presented in the statute. We covered last week how statutes are going to drive what a crime is. We're also going to take a look at criminal liability, and within each of these statutes that we'll go through for Illinois, you'll note that they also give you an inside look at the sentence, the liability, what happens, what can be charged, what your penalty will be. So after you listen to this podcast, there's a document that I provided on Canvas for this week, and there's also a case. For the first part, you need to read the document, and you also need to be ready to access the statutes. Again, the statutes are linked to Canvas, so you might have to do a little search, but I give you the citation, and part of what we're going to do is practice you being able to access Illinois statutes. So that's going to be what you're going to do first. If you haven't read that document, you may want to stop and come back to this podcast because it'll make sense. Once you've read that document and you've located the statutes, come on back. There's also a case, as I mentioned, People versus Grant, and you don't need to read that right now, but after you do the first part of the assignment that's pertaining to the assault and battery statutes, well then, come back and read that People versus Grant case. It's located immediately under the week two reading assignment. Remember the deadlines, same deadlines, Thursday at 10 o'clock for your original post, the following Monday at 10 p.m. for your reply posts. So as I stated, the intent this week is that you grasp the importance of specific elements of crimes and the need to always look to the statute to make sure those elements are present by the facts of the incident you are investigating or responding to. And assault and battery are a great introduction because with these two crimes, they may occur separately. In many cases, they come together. An assault precedes a battery. When we focus on the elements of a crime, intent is most typically there. The facts typically present circumstances in which the victim had reason to fear or a blow or harmful contact, the battery that eventually came. And what I just said will make more sense once you've read those two statutes. As a little plug, those of you in law enforcement, 911, or criminal justice, you can take the CRJ 201 course, which is an internship where you spend 12 shifts over the course of a semester, fall, spring, or summer, going out. Depending on the size of the agency that you want to be an intern with and what's available, you may work all sorts of different shifts and with different units, but you get to see this stuff unfold. You get to see firsthand what I'm talking about when I say that the facts you know, will present themselves, and then you take the facts and you identify the elements of the crime. So that's our first introduction this week. And again, it's an introduction. As we go through the semester, you're going to get deep into specific crimes, and you'll come back to assault and battery. The other focus this week is to have you experience recognition of intent or the facts that may indicate intent. And most often we extract the intent from action, not words or statements about what was intended. We've all had a lot of personal interaction from the time we were first able to talk or understand any language from anyone. And we know that people will state their intent, and it doesn't always match their actions. In our business, we want to focus on the actions, the facts. As an example, if you happen to be walking through the park, enjoying the day, minding your own business, you approach a park bench from behind. Someone's sitting on the park bench eating sunflower seeds, and as you pass, they turn and spit sunflower shells all over you. What is that? Was there intent by those facts? They didn't say anything. Didn't need to say anything. What facts would cause you to believe that that was intentional or not? Now, assume you're walking through the park again and towards the bench, and the person sitting there eating sunflower seeds and is an acquaintance with whom you've had past conflicts. The individual's got their mouth full of sunflower seeds, and they start to curse at you, speak aggressively, call you derogatory names, and they stand up and they spit sunflower seeds all over your face. Different scenario, right? Different facts. Which set of facts might be written up as a criminal act? Which set of facts clearly indicate intent? So that's what we're focusing on this week. Hopefully after this week, you recognize the answer would be the second set of facts, the combined actions of words and actions of the perpetrator showed intent. Unlike the first scenario in which it was just a matter of bad timing all around. This is going to be important as we move through the semester, because you're going to wrap up the semester actually taking a scenario in which you are going to write up essentially the narrative for a police report, where you are going to identify the actors, what they did, and how what they did fits into elements of a crime under an Illinois statute. And you're going to figure out which Illinois statute applies and write that up. Essentially taking those facts, like the facts I just read off to you, and then matching them up to elements from the statute or the offense that you are putting in your report that you believe that the individual committed. That's what we're covering this week in week number 2. Next week we move to infancy, insanity, intoxication, and negligence. Kind of flowing from our introduction of intent, infancy, insanity, intoxication, and negligence seek to show a lack of, or circumstances which may indicate a lack of, the ability to have intent to commit a criminal act. I hope your first week was good. I hope the second week is better. This is interesting stuff, as I've said. I appreciate you being here. If you need me, you know how to get a hold of me.